Well, I'm wearing my wife's reading glasses, so bear with me this morning. I can't see the words to read, and with them on, I can't see your faces. It's blurry. Well, they're blurry now, too, but anyway, it's kind of a little bit of a pain. But I've been impressed with the scripture I'd like to look at in First Samuel. The 30th chapter. I'd like to read a little bit here this morning, so follow along with us. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Said, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recovered all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. The young man goes ahead and tells them that they had made the invasion, and it was quite a master to leave him there sick. But I was encouraged with this circumstance here, and recognizing all the things that are involved here. He comes back home, and him and his men are tired. They're wore out, and not only that, but their wives and family's gone. And if you were anywhere near the end of your rope, this would be one place you'd feel like the end of the rope. And David didn't know what to do. They wept, it said, till there was no more strength to weep. So that wore them out. But we have those few words that said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I, you know, in times... There's just times we need to do that in life. There's times it seems like when the Maybe we've lost some things spiritually. Maybe we lost some ground spiritually. Now, David was fighting the battles of the Lord. He was doing what was right. And I don't really understand all why this happened quite like it did. But you'd think, you know, the Lord could have told him that, hey, the Amalekites are going to come in here. He wants you to leave some men here at home to watch the home front. But it didn't work out that way. I know the Lord knows everything. He knows all things. But I know this, that God, when you read this about this Egyptian boy, and I don't know why they wasn't able to find a trail. They didn't know where they went to. It was dark. If the ground was stony, I don't know really what all the thing was, but they didn't know where they were at. But here's a young man that's been left to die sick. And it's just like the Lord gave him a little lead here. You know, the Lord didn't... He allowed this to happen, but yet His hand was... He protected the wives. He protected the children. None of them were slain. But they were taken captive. And when David began to pray about it, the message was pursue. I want you to pursue. And that's what I've been inspired with this morning, with that little thought of being able to pursue what God has. Here, there could have been so many excuses made, and they could have gave up totally, but they did the right thing. They began to inquire of the Lord what to do. And the Lord gave them an answer and told them to pursue after them. You know, if the enemy has stolen some ground from us, if he's taken some things from us, I don't believe the Lord wants us to stay in that place. He wants us to get back anything the enemy has taken from us. And as I read this, I was encouraged that God gave them, even though the circumstances were bleak and they didn't look very good, God gave them a lead to be able to go and receive, to get back what was theirs. And I believe the battles of the Lord are like that too. I believe sometimes it looks kind of bleak. It looks kind of, what's the use? Maybe we're worn out or tired. But the Lord often will give the message, pursue. If we've lost something, pursue. The Lord doesn't want us to just... And I think about, when I'm thinking about the thought of pursuit too, sometimes I feel like life can bring responsibilities, and just the cares of life can cause there to be distance in our relationships, in our families. Have you ever felt it with your companion, spouse, that there was kind of a cooling off or a distance there? The answer is to pursue, to follow after. And when I was thinking about this pursuit, I was thinking about also how a lion goes after his prey. And the Scriptures talk about Jesus as being the lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion goes after his prey. A lion is a pretty powerful... You know, we're not surrounded by lions in our country, in our society. But they are called the king of beasts for a reason. And if you had a lion on your trail, you definitely know about it. They're fierce. They're when they go after their prey, they're focused. And they're fierce. And they're full of strength. and they're full of courage. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in our pursuit for God, for the things of God. He wants us to be focused. He wants us to be full of courage, full of strength. We're after something. And Jesus was that way in His life in fulfilling the will of God. He was a lion. A lion of the tribe of Judah. He was focused. He was fierce in doing what was right. He was vehement. He had a strong desire to do the things that God wanted him to do. And we want to follow that path in our lives too. Also, we want to be a lion. Someone's phone's ringing. We want to be a lion in seeking after the will of God and pursuing after the things that God has for us. Now, I've also been challenged. The other day, I was visiting with a classmate, and they made comment that they had made contact with another classmate, and they talked about getting together, but nothing has ever happened. And that stood out to me, because the Lord is talking to me. And then I've also heard at funerals, I've heard people say, you know, the only time we get together is at funerals. I've heard comments like that. That the only time we get together is at funerals. When it comes to God, when it comes to family, when it comes to connections, when it comes to being close, the Lord wants us to pursue it. Pursue it with fierceness, with, and I'm not talking about carnality, I'm talking about focus and being able to get it done. So the other day I came across a friend on the job. I was then doing the job for this older lady, and lo and behold, her daughter was married to a boy I went to 8th grade school with. Well, from 8th grade through high school. And you know, he made comments, said, well, let's get together sometime. And you know how easy it is to agree and say, yeah, we ought to get together. We ought to do something together. But then what happens after that? Do we get together with them? You see the thought I'm getting? It's so easy just to say and to know what we ought to do, but then we don't really pursue it. We get distracted if we don't do something. So I told him, I said, well, when can you come over? How about Thursday night? Yeah, I think Thursday night will work. So we had him over Thursday night. We had a wonderful time. I'm so glad I did that. But it's so easy to do those things if we just... But if we procrastinate, you know what procrastinate means? You know the definition? Procrastinate, pro. I know we know it means to put it off, but the word pro means forward. And the back part of that crassinus, or however it's pronounced, means for tomorrow. Tomorrow. That's where the word procrastinate comes from. And so many times we'll see, and the Lord will help us and to show us some spiritual ground or some connections that we need to make with our family or to be closer together, and we'll recognize and we see. But if we procrastinate too much, you know what happens? We soon forget about it. And then we hear the statements that say, you know, the only time we see each other is at funerals. Lord, help us today to be able to seize opportunities. When the Lord opens a door and an opportunity, to be able to grab a hold of it. Like a lion with his prey. Okay, let's do this. Let's get her done. You know, they've got that saying in the world, get her done. Let's do it. Get it done. You know, the planning stage is fun, isn't it? I mean, when you sit there and plan, think about, and I'm kind of that way. I like to plan. I like to think about That's a good stage. Oh, you can have all these great plans and great ideas and great thoughts of, you know, something you're going to do. But there comes a time that the planning stage doesn't suffice it anymore. There comes a time when you got to get out there and start breaking dirt. Where you start working. Where you start putting in, implementing. And you start moving forward toward and grabbing a hold of possessing what God wants us to have in our lives. Now, most of us have been to Monarch. And Monarch is kind of like a vacation. It's kind of like a little haven where you enjoy the meeting, you enjoy the singing, you enjoy the fellowship and all the good things. And I had Juliet, little girl that was there last year, she made comments. She said, or one of the girls made comments. She said, why don't we just live at Monarch? Man, this is wonderful. Why don't we just live there? That was her thought. Well, we can't do that. We realize we got responsibilities and we got to work. But are we implementing? Are we putting in? Are we pursuing what God wants us to pursue? You know, the Lord is faithful to talk to us. The Lord pursues us. The Holy Spirit is faithful to deal with every person, saved and unsaved. You know, in Revelations that we read there in Sunday school, God was working with the Jezebel. He gave her space. He was chastening her. He was pursuing her. He was giving her. The Lord works with everybody. But He wants us to pursue Him. He wants us to not run from Him and not just stay in the same ground and just think someday it's going to get better. Someday it's going to happen. Because it doesn't. I remember reading, I believe it was in the Reader's Digest, an account of this lady. Her sister lived across town. And she always had a desire to go eat breakfast with her sister, take her out to breakfast. That was just a desire that she had in her heart, something that she wanted to do. You know, we all have those desires. We all have things in our heart that someday we'd like to do. Sometime. But you know, time went on, months went on, and years went by. And her sister got cancer and went low and died and passed. And she never did fulfill that desire of her heart that she wanted to do. You know, that's pretty serious, isn't it? It gets real serious. When you feel like there's something there that you want to connect more with, whether it be a mother, a dad, or someone, and then all of a sudden it's gone forever. And you didn't do it. That gets to be pretty heavy business, pretty serious. So I want to encourage us today and challenge us. Those things that God puts in our heart, those desires for good things that He wants us to do. And I believe that's the way God works with us. I believe that's the way He leads us. He'll put desires in our heart, and that's the Holy Spirit trying to direct us, trying to lead us. This is what I want you to do. The Lord will give you the desire in your heart. I believe that. From Philippians, it said, it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But when He does, then we've got to pursue it. If we don't, pretty soon we just procrastinate, we put it off and we put it off and we put it off, and then the opportunities sometimes gone forever. So I want to encourage us this morning, when it comes to God, when it comes to family, family connections, being close, you know, our life this morning, the most important thing in life is people, our families, the people that we love, the people that we know. You know, it's not the material things, it's not the money, it's not things, it's people. That's the most important thing in our life. And the Lord wants us, I believe, to be pursuing those connections. When we begin to feel like there's a distance or something is standing in the way, there's a block, to try to pursue that. To make those connections good, to make them strong, to make them what God wants them to be. And you know, that's what, to me, that's what makes life blessed, is the richness of relationships with family, friends, the people of God. That's what makes life beneficial and fulfilling. I wanted to get a scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And you know, the encouraging thing on this lesson was David was able to get his wives back, restore them. But it was because he pursued. And when we pursue, the Lord is able to bless us also. But if we don't pursue, I believe we can lose many good blessings that God has for us. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. He said, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Here he was talking about, I believe it was relating to an offering, but he told them a year ago. Now he said in verse 11, he said, "Now therefore perform the doing of it." In other words, follow through with what you intended to do. Purpose in your heart, plan, but there comes a time. And you know, one thing I found, that if you set a date and set a plan in place, it's more, things start going that way. I mean, it sets the tone, it sets the direction. This is what's going to happen here. And then, you know, when you do those things, how many times you come away blessed, enriched, rewarded? "Oh, I'm so glad we got together. That guy that we had over the other night, such a blessing. I haven't seen him in 30 years. I guess it's been 30 years. Well, we graduated in 83. That was the last I saw him. I've heard a few things about him. Leah made a wonderful supper. And it was just we talked about old times, and we talked about what was happening in our life now and what things. We just really enjoyed it. And I believe we can do that more. Focus. Focus in on our relationships. And go for it. Put some courage, strength, and energy. I want to tell us this too. The devil's going to try to hinder. The enemy tries to hinder many times, just like he did back there with David. He's going to try to hinder, and it's going to look like, well, maybe the Lord, they were wanting to stone David. Here our wives are gone, and we're fighting the battles of the Lord and all this. But he pursued. God gave him a little bitty lead. and he grabbed it. He pursued. He followed. And if we pursue with fierceness, I believe the Lord will give us little bitty leads. As we're seeking, as we're moving, as we're looking to Him, the Lord will open up a little bit of door. And He'll help us recognize, hey, here's your opportunity. And I think about how so vital it is for us to be on our guard in our prayer life, in our being up to date and keeping ourselves ready and waiting for the Lord. Because you never know, hardly ever know, when the door is going to open. We don't always know when the door is going to open. And so many times, if we're not where we should be spiritually and we're not looking, doors will open and close. And I've had that happen. They'll open and close and then they're gone. And you missed it. Lord, help us today to put our foot in the door. When the door opens, put your foot in there. You know what? Let's do this now. Let's do this. It's worthwhile. Let's do it. Let's let there be a performance of it. God will help us if we do that. The scripture also in James, that familiar scripture in James 1 and 22, he said, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And you know, that's it. I believe that's the Lord's guarantee on this verse. You're going to be blessed in your deed. If you'll pursue, if you'll put forth the door, like here he mentions, looking into the perfect law of liberty, and we see ourselves like looking into the mirror. Oh, I need to fix this. My hair's not right, or I got food on my face, or something's not right. And then we get distracted and we go, and that's the way it is. We got food on our face, or we got our... But if we go take care of it, and that's what I'm talking about, procrastination. The longer we wait, the less likely it is to get done. You know, have you ever heard of a honey-do list? Wives have things that they kind of like their husbands to get done. It's called the honey-do list. The longer we wait with it, the harder it is to get it done. You know, it's that way with any task. I've known sometimes things that I've put off, and I finally got in there and got done, I noticed, you know, this wasn't quite that bad. This wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be. But we get things built up in our mind. Usually it's something we really don't like to do. All of us have those things. Mine's plumbing. I don't really care for plumbing. I like trim work. I do trim work. I don't care for plumbing too well. I can do plumbing, but I don't really like it. One time I had a pipe wrench on the stool and I slipped off, hit my tooth. Yep, I don't like plumbing. Chipped my tooth when we first married. But you know, many times if we'll just start, go get the wrench, it's usually not that bad. And it's the way it is with the Lord so many times too. And it's the way it is with being hospitable and making connections with family and friends. When you do it, when you start out, you get going, you think, well, this is not as bad as I thought it was. In fact, I really enjoy this. It said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Lord will bless us if we pursue with focus, pursue with strength, courage, and energy, just like a lion after its prey. That's the way the Lord wants. And that's the way Jesus was when it came to the will of God for His life. He pursued. And we can too. The Lord can help us to do that. And I want to say this also at the end. If we're not willing, if we feel like the Lord wants us to do something and we're not willing, begin to pray and ask God to help us to be willing. Pray that way. Lord, there's something here that I just feel like You want me to do, but I don't want to do it. You know, I believe we can be honest like that with the Lord and just tell Him, I don't feel like doing this. But then ask and pray, Lord, help me to be willing. Help me, give me a willing heart to do the things that You call me to do. Help me to put my heart into it and to do it. And you know, as we do that, God will. I believe He can change the reins of our heart. I believe He can change and work and give us a greater willingness to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Appreciate your attention this morning.